we began talking about the mitzvah of Emuna and Yediyas Hashem. We mentioned that the Rambam holds that ideally, though not necessarily, a person should seek to prove the existence of God, namely that his Emuna or his Yediyah be based in proof. A number of Rishonim take this approach as well, among them Rabbeinu Bachi ibn Pekuda, Nechovas Halvavos, who writes that it would show a lack of zrizus, a lack of zeal, if anyone were to rely on tradition, who's able to obtain certainty through rational demonstration. You're simply being lazy. If your faith in God, your knowledge of God's existence can be known through proof. And thus, of course, Rabbeinu Bachya in the Shar HaYichud proves God's existence in a philosophical manner. In the Shar HaBechina, he shows how it could be demonstrated through nature. And he writes that if you simply look at the world in an observant way, you will surely come to an appreciation of God's existence. The Rambam writes, and you could see this in your Makoros from last week, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, this is on page 2 of the Makoros from last week, the right column. He describes how Avram Avinu first came to a Hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was indeed through contemplation, through proof, philosophy, science. Aval Tzuro Lamim Loya, sounds like the middle of a sentence. But the point was that Avram Avinu lived in a world where nobody, Aval Tzuro Lamim Loya Shum Adam Shaya Makilo. With respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was no one in the world who recognized God in the time of Avram Avinu. The lo yod'o el yechidim ba'olam. So I guess interesting, right? There was no one that was makir Hashem. And in terms of yod'o, which sounds like a lower level, only a handful of people. Kegon Chanoch u'Mesu Shelach, Noach Shem va'Eiver. V'al derech zeh, ha'olam holech u'mezgalgel, ad shenolad amudo shel olam, v'hu Avram Avinu. In this manner, the Rambam has earlier described how it was that Avodah Zarah actually came into the world, how it evolved, which is a strange idea, after all. If at one point everybody in the world believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how did that change? The Rambam writes how this began in the times of Enosh, when people began serving intermediaries, perhaps as a means of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's indeed very difficult to serve a God that you can't see, you can't hear, you can't touch, you can't feel. People began to serve intermediaries. Eventually, they became so focused on the intermediaries, whether it's the celestial beings or angels or the like, they forgot that these were just intermediaries. These were creations of God, and they began to serve them independently. The truth is that for the Rambam, the primary Isser of Avodah Zarah is not typically the person, you know, taking a statue and actually believing that it's God, but it's serving God through intermediaries. Avodah Zarah, the Isser of Avodah Zarah in the Torah, is a gzeira in a certain sense. You see that clearly in Perek Aleph and especially Perek Beis of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, although that's not our issue now. What we want to look at is what happened to Avram Avinu. So the Rambam writes very powerfully, Kevan shenigmal etan zeh, hischil shotet b'da'ato. Once this mighty one was weaned, he began to explore. Vu katan, and he was very young. V'hischil lachshov b'yom uv'alayla, and he thought day and night. The Rambam here is resolving a famous contradiction in the various Midrashim as to when it is that Avram Avinu discovered God. There are some Midrashim that say it was when he was 3, when he was a young child, others when he was 40, when he was already old, mature. And the resolution that the Rambam suggests is that it was a process. That Avram Avinu began questioning, wondering, asking at a very young age, as soon as he was weaned. And the truth is, though it sounds extraordinary, that this is actually quite normal. Little kids oftentimes ask these very basic questions, like, why is anything here? And who is God? And what made Hashem? So Avraham Avinu, at a young age, something that's actually quite natural. Unfortunately, sometimes this theological curiosity is crushed once they start going to school, but that's a different issue. So at a young age, Avraham Avinu started wondering, questioning, Vayatameya, and he was astounded. Heyach afshar shiya galgal hazan noeg tamid, velo yelo manhig umishi savevo so. How could the sphere constantly rotate if there's nothing causing it to rotate, as we saw last time? Kievshar shisavev esatzmo. It can't rotate itself. There must be a cause. There must be a first cause. There must be something that started it all. If there is existence, and if we exist, so what accounts for it? And not just existence, but movement, motion. These are the proofs that the Rambam develops at length in the Mor Nevuchim. But at its most basic level, it's very intuitive. It's something that even a little child can ask. So little Avram was wondering about these basic questions. V'lo hayalo melamed, v'lo modia davar. He had no teacher. Nobody taught him. This is something that a person can independently discover. If they just think, Alamushka b'or kazdin bein ovdei kochavim hatipshim, the aviv imo v'chol ha'am ovdei kochavim, v'hu oved imayim, he was ensconced in an environment where everybody was idolaters, his family, his community. And here the Rambam says an amazing thing, v'hu haya oved imayim, he was it, he did it also. Don't think like Avraham Avinu, you know, 3 years old, he woke up one day, he said, Yafshar Labira Blomanhig, and he started breaking his father's idols. No! He went to church. Hu haya oved imayim. In fact, that's how some explain the line in the Haggadah, Metchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. So who's avoseinu? So I think we generally assume it's Terach. That's avoseinu? According to the Rambam, maybe it's Avraham Avinu. He was also Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Whether that's the meaning of the Gadda or not, I don't know. But certainly that's what the Rambam writes. Hu haya oved imayim. It's natural for everyone as a child to do what their parents do. So that's what Avraham did. But V'libo Meshotet, but he kept on exploring, thinking, wondering. Umevin, ad shehisik derech ha'emes, until he finally discovered the truth. V'hevin kav ha'tzedek mitvunaso ha'nechona. V'yada sheyesham Eloah echad v'hu manhig ha'galgal. Must be that there's one God that's responsible for everything. V'hu bara ha'kol. He created all that exists. V'ein b'kol ha'nimta Eloka. Chutz mimenu. V'yada shekol ha'olam to'im. And he realized that the whole world was wrong. He was be'ever echad v'chol ha'olam be'ever sheni. V'davar shegarim lahem letos zeh she'ovdim es ha'kochavim es ha'tzuros. What caused their error? Like we said, they're serving the intermediaries, they're serving the creations, the tzuros, the kochavim. Ad she'avad ha'emes midatam. Uven arbaim shana hikir Avram es boro. So when was he makir, right? When was he makir? We said before, from the beginning of this halacha, you see makir is a stronger lashon. So when was he actually makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 40 years old. Meaning to say, we're talking about a process of 37 years between when little Avram started asking these questions and wondering and searching, and when he was finally makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a process. Kevan shehikir v'yada. So once he was makir, hischil lahashiv tshuvos al bnei orkazdim. So then, he started to spread the word of God. He started asking questions. V'larach dini mahem, v'lomar she'en zu derech emesh, atem hochem ba, debating them. The Rambam continues, right? This almost cost Avram Avinu his life, etc., etc. We know the rest of the story. So, Avram Avinu comes to Akar HaKadosh Baruch Hu by asking these questions, by proving God's existence. And it's not just the Rambam who says this. This idea in the Rambam comes from a Medrash, presumably. Take a look at your next source. Amar Reb Yitzchak Masha Le'echad Shehaya Over Mimakom Lamakom. V'ra'a bira achas dolakas. Amar Tomar Shehabira Zu Belo Manik. Hitzitz Alav Balabira. Amar Lo Anihu Balabira. Kach Lefishaya Avinu Avraham. Omer Tomar Sheolam Azeb Lo Manik. Hitzitz Alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'amar Lo Anihu Bal HaOlam. There are a couple of things I think we should notice here. Like the Rambam, the Medrash emphasizes that a consideration of the universe will bring a person to Akara HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very interesting. In the Medrash, in the Mashal, the Medrash, it says, Mashal Le'echad Shehaya Over Mimakom Lamakom. Why is that important? That he was traveling. The mashal is a person was traveling from place to place. Who cares? Should just say a person stopped and he thought and he wondered. Tomar shabira b'lomanig. What's makom lamakom? I think I heard from Rav Aaron Lapiansky that this reflects the idea that Avram's experience was a journey. Was a process like we saw in the Rambam. He was over Mimakom Lamakom. He was a traveler. He went on a journey of discovery with stages and questions, a beginning, an end, all sorts of travails along the way. It's not just someone who dawns on him and everything becomes clear in a second. So we have this person journeying, and he sees a bira achas dolakas. So this is also interesting. Why doesn't it just say he saw bira, and he said, yefshar b'lebira b'lomani, he sees a palace, and he says, ah, there's a building, there must be a builder. Why that added kinesh, a bira dolakas? It doesn't seem to be relevant. Right, the proof is very simple. If there's a building, there must be a builder. If there's a poem, there must be a poet. It didn't just happen that way. But the yesod is that the Medrash is highlighting that it's not just that there was a creator who left it, but like the Medrash continued, there has to be a manhig. Right? It's not just that there's a building that was built and now it stands, it's here. But there's a manhig in the world. There's hashkacha. There's involvement. And that's symbolized by the dolakas, meaning to say the bira's existence could be just because there was a builder who built it and left it. The dolakas indicates a continuous involvement. In fact, you could translate dolakas in one of two ways. You could translate it either as it was an illuminated palace or a burning palace. If we translate it as illuminated, so I think it's highlighting exactly the point that we just said. In other words, the lights are on, right? The candles are burning inside. There's a continuous hashpa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the world. Perhaps if you translate it as burning, so then it's, you say a little differently, but a very different, maybe even a different kinesh, which is even in the destruction, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being a manhig. Tzadik v'ralo might leave us bewildered, but not that there's no manhig. There is purpose there as well. Either way, The Medrash continues that this wayfarer sees the Bira Dolakas. He says, Yashar Beliber Lo Manhig, and hates it's a love Balabira. Likewise, Avram Avinu asked these questions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. And here's a very important point. Maybe we'll talk about this more next time when we discuss the opinion of the Kuzari. But the Kuzari, as we'll see later, critiques the notion that ideally a person should pursue philosophy for purposes of faith. And he writes that perhaps philosophy, science, and the like can originally bring a person to belief in God, and that's fine, but that's insufficient. We need a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes that's exactly what happened to Avram Avinu, as this Medrash points out. He doesn't cite the Medrash, but the idea he presents is really very much encapsulated in this Medrash, which is that Avram Avinu originally discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu through asking questions, Efshar Labira B'lo Manhig. But it doesn't just end there. He doesn't just conclude, oh, so there must be a God. And that was it. Heitz Itzalav Baal Abira, V'amar Lo Anihu Baal Ha'olam. That developed into Nevuah. It developed into a relationship. And again, perhaps next time, maybe today, we'll talk about the nature of that relationship. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that this idea that by looking at nature, we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was expressed in many places throughout Tanakh. For example, Yeshayahu says, Su'um arom einechem u'ru'um yivara eila. You come to a karav HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking at the heavens, looking at the incredible universe, Su'um arom einechem u'ru'u, and you'll see, you'll discover, you'll appreciate, mivara eila, who is the creator, who created it all. Yeah.
What's the nimshal to the fact that the Bira Dolakas?
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world. So if you say it's illuminated, so then the nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just create the world, but he continues to illuminate the world.
I mean, what did Avram see?
Avram sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world, the light in the world. It's not just that it was created, but he's continuously mashpia, I imagine. Yeah.
If you say that Dolakas means burning, it's a little bit hard to... It's a little bit of a weird story, because, like, just passing by, he sees a building's on fire. He's like, oh, there's no money. Like, yes,
so I agree. I think that's why I would have intuitively translated it more as illuminated. But that's okay. In other words, the mashal... Mashalim don't have to... You know, they're not novels. The goal is to teach us a lesson, and that's the point that it's trying to bring out. Yeah.
If I might push back ever so slightly, I think there's a very, I think even if you translate it as burning, it's all the more powerful from the perspective of the Muna. It means just saying it's in response to Arma partially. Because it means that if you're looking around and you're seeing a world that's in trouble, it's in flames, and you think. Like, you start to think, maybe, how can it be that there's someone here that's watching over this?
Right,
and
right.
God says, no, even if it looks bad, even if things appear to be burning down around you, that doesn't mean that I'm not here playing a role.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I started to say before. Now, he was just saying, but, like, it's a funny story. So, like, what are you sitting around philosophizing? Maybe we should save the guy. But that's the point. It doesn't have to be... that's exactly what Avram did. No, the world was burning down with Avodah Zarah and Kfira. Avram said, okay, have to step into action. Yeah.
But that's not really the theological relevance of what he's trying to say. Meaning that would, maybe that's something, or maybe, I don't know, something what the Kuzari would read it, but what the Rambam was trying to say is that there's a building, it's illuminated, so that philosophically, there's a world and it's continuing to run, therefore there's a God. If it's burning, how does the burning at
all... That's not the way the Rambam says it. That's true. We're trying to understand the Medrash. The Rambam doesn't quote the Medrash. Perhaps the idea comes from the Medrash, right? As we noted, it's very significant that it's not just that the Rambam has the same idea as the Medrash, but both the Rambam and the Medrash stress that we're talking here about a manhig. Yes, Aaron.
Yeah, I don't want to really harp on this point, but the fact that it's burning down is much more that there is no manhig.
No.
if there was a mountain, it wouldn't be burning like
not
what,
a, not, that's not a, the intelligent reaction.
I mean,
the intelligent reaction is that somebody started the fire. In other words, instead, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you might not understand.
If it was deserted, why was it burning down?
If there's a fire, so it got started somehow. It didn't start itself. Okay. Now, as we noted, the Rambam writes that Emunah or Yediyah is a mitzvah, and in the Sefer Mitzvos, he proves it from the Gemara in Makos, which I thought I put here, but I didn't. Anyway, it's a Gemara we all know from Makos, Chaf Gimel, and the base. The Gemara says that the Torah tziva lanu Moshe, and that's Gematria 611. Where is the first two? Because Anochi Elohim et piagvur shmanu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us 611 mitzvos. The first two we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means Anochi was directly from Hashem. So must be Anochi is a mitzvah. So here the Rambam, as I said, is responding to the opinion of the Bahag. The Bahag claimed that Anochi isn't a mitzvah. After all, it's not stated the Lashon Tzivui. The Rambam says, no, you see Mefurish in the Gemara that Anochi is a mitzvah because it's counted towards the 613. After all, it's only when you add those two that you get to 613. That's the Raya that the Rambam brings. Now, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim explains that Gemara in a very fascinating way, which I think brings us a much better appreciation of the value of proof. And specifically, that proof for the existence of God isn't just a means of converting the atheist or the agnostic, a tool that you might use to bring someone who doesn't believe and convince them to believe through evidence and through proof, but that the nature of belief, which is rooted in proof, is fundamentally different than the nature of belief that is not rooted in proof. And you see this from the remarkable way that the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim explains that Gemara. The Rambam writes, and this is in Chelek Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, which is at the bottom right of the... Chelek Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, the bottom left of page 2. I should note, by the way, that what we're about to do is a bit perilous. Is any extra source sheets from the ones from today? Okay, I borrow somebody's. Sorry. Thank you. The Rambam writes in the first Makor that you have for today, which is in Chelek Beis Lamed Gimel. I had included in last week's Mar Makomo, so I just added it here. The Rambam writes that the thinking about what happened at Matan Torah is something that we have to be very careful about. You can't really, beyond what I'm going to tell you about Ma'amad Har Sinai, you can't really understand Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Rambam writes that the importance of setting up fences around Ma'amad Har Sinai and Hashem's warning and Moshe's warning of the people not to get too close was because if you think too much about these things in a way that you're asking questions that are beyond a human's ability to comprehend, so that's very dangerous and it could get one into trouble. The need for barriers is very important. The Atzilei B'nai Yisrael sinned because they tried to approach too much, to go too far when beyond what they were able to do at their madrega. And that was something that was very harmful. So we have to be very careful about this, the Rambam writes. But this is what the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim about about what actually happened. So again, I'm reading from the left column on the Makaris from last week. Again, Chelek Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel. So the Rambam writes here the following. Yisbar li she b'mamad har Sinai lo haya magia Moshe magia l'chol Yisrael. That which Moshe heard at Maimad Har Sinai wasn't the same thing that everybody else heard. Avala dibur l'moshe levado alav ha-shalom. The dibur was specifically to Moshe. B'lazeba sipur aser sadibros kulo sipur ha-yachid ha-nifrat. That's why they're written in Lashon Yachid, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shetzi Sicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Because he's talking to Moshe, not Kal Yisrael. Hu alav ha-shalom yarad Latachte Sahar, Vyagad, Vayagid, Levne Adam, Mashisham. And then Moshe went down to the bottom of the mountain. He told everybody what he heard. Amra Tor Anochi Omeid Bein Hashem Uvein Echem. That's what the Pasuk means when it says Moshe said, I stood between you and God. Vamar Gamken, Moish Daber, Vahalokim, Yanenu Bakol, Uvivir Amri Nechilta, Kikol Dibor Vidibor Haya Meshiva Lahem Kemoshe Shama. Moshe repeated exactly what he heard. The Kasuv Torah, Gamken, Bavor Ishma Ambedabri Imach, which implies that it was Moshe telling them. So what did Bnei Yisrael hear? Right, it's clear they heard something. They didn't hear the words. They didn't hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so what did they hear? They heard the kol. And that's what the Pasuk keeps on stressing. V'amar kol dvarim atem shomim. The law amar dvarim atem shomim. You heard this kol. What was this kol? This kol was this undifferentiated idea. They heard a kol, but they couldn't make out in the words what was being said. In other words, they did hear a kol Hashem. There was a revelation, but the revelation wasn't specific words. It was a kol. It's actually an idea that you see in the Sefer Kabbalah as well, in a different nusach. But anyway, v'chol ma shebam mashma dvarim, amnam, hanir tzebo shama hakol, u'moshe hu asher yishma hadvarim v'isapreim lahem. So hanir emin hatoira u'meirov divrei hachazal. So that's the impression you get from not just the psukim, but from most of the sources in Chazal. But, of course, there's a problem. Right, the Gemara that we just said in Makos says exactly the opposite. The Gemara in Makos said that Anochi Anoyia Nepi Agvura Shemanu. Right, we hold those directly. Yeah, of course, with respect to the subsequent Divros, those we heard through Moshe, Bnei Yisrael said we can't handle it. But the first Divros we heard directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the pshat? So he writes, Vu Amram Anochi Veloyia Lucham Nepi Agvura Shemanu Rotsim B'zeh Sheheim Higiu Aleihem. Kemo shegil Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. The lo haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom agiyam aleihem. Zeh sheshte elu hasharashim atzalomar mitzios hakel yisborach. Veyoso echad amnam yusag bi'iyon ha'anoshi. V'chol ma sheyodeya b'mofes. Mishpat anavi bo u'mishpat kol mi shida'eyu shaveh ein Yisrael. And here the Rambam says absolutely remarkable. Incredible thing. So let's first of all try to understand where he's coming from. Why is it? Why would you think that the entire Bnei Yisrael didn't actually hear Anochi Eloyia, like the simple understanding of the Chazal? The answer is because that would be impossible. Because Bnei Yisrael were not on the Madrega of Nevuah, and it's impossible to receive Nevuah if you're not on the Madrega. It's impossible. Now, that is an idea that you see in Chazal, the Gemara Nedarim you have here on the right side of last week's sheet, Amar Rabbi Yonachnan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'asher Shechinaso Ala Chacham Gibor V'Asher V'Anav V'Kulam Moshe. So you have to have intellectual perfection, a Chacham. You have to have Midos perfection and Anav. The Rambam understands Gibor and Asher not literally, but it means Kovishes Yitzro and Sameach B'Chalko. But the point is, a person has to achieve a certain degree of spiritual and intellectual perfection in order for a Nevuah to be possible. The Rambam highlights this in many places in Hilchos Yesodei Torah. He writes here in Nigaris Teimani up next, Lafishu Ikar Etzleinu, Sheina Nevuah Shora it's impossible. Here's where he quotes what I said before. Right? It's a very fundamental yesod. Now, there are some Rishonim who say that basically that's true, but Mamad Har Sinai was an exception. That's what the Drash Haran, for example, says. Is, yeah, every other time in history, that was the chiddush of the mass revelation of Har Sinai, that everybody heard, even those that weren't ordinarily on a madrega for a nevuah. That's perhaps why they reacted the way they did. They thought they were going to die. They asked that it stop, but at least for the first two dibros, so they were absolutely clear. But the Rambam doesn't want to say that. The Rambam thinks it's very fundamental. It's absolutely impossible that you could have nevuah. As he writes in the next verse from the Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, indeed, the Rambam writes, if you skip to the bottom right column in the Mor Nevuchim, the previous chapter, that the notion that someone who is an Am Haaretz receiving Nevuah is as absurd as saying that a Chamor or a Tzvardeya could receive Nevuah. Obviously, nobody would imagine that a frog could prophesy. So to say that all of Bnei Yisrael, among them who were Amei Haaretz and the like, could have received prophecy is absurd, inconceivable, absolutely preposterous. So, Im Kenim Dvar Melu, what is the pshat? What does it mean when Chazal say, Anochi en lo yar mipiag v'rosh manum? And his answer is extraordinary. He says over here, as we just read, that the pshat in that Chazal is like this. How do we know Anochi? How do we know God exists? So we just discussed how that could be proven. It could be demonstrated. So if I can demonstrate God's existence, my knowledge is direct knowledge. God's existence, his oneness, are provable. And therefore, someone who knows, has proven God's existence, his knowledge is direct. It's no different than that of a prophet. It's no different than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. As opposed to all the other mitzvos. How do I know that I have to lay tefillin or keep Shabbos or keep kashrus? Through Moshe Rabbeinu. I know them through an intermediary. But how do I know God exists? I know it directly. I can prove it. I can demonstrate it. So what does that mean? It means what the Gemara is saying is that our knowledge of God's existence and his oneness is equivalent to that of Moshe's. There is no difference. As opposed to all the other mitzvos. Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, 611. The other 611 mitzvos we know through Moshe. But Anochi and Lo'iyah, God's existence is oneness. That's something that we know not through Moshe, but independently. And that's the yesod. In other words, the importance of proving God's existence is not just as a means to belief, but it's a fundamentally different knowledge than something that I know just through somebody else telling me. If I know that God exists through Mesorah, because my parents told me and my grandparents told me, v'chule, v'chule. So then that is not the same knowledge. Then it's like all the other mitzvos that I know through tradition. Whereas Anochi and Lo'iyah, so those, because I know directly, so therefore it's direct knowledge. It's like that of Moshe, it's like that of a prophet's. The Meshech Chachma notes how this answers a kasha that the Ramban has on the Rambam. The Rambam, as we said before, shows from the Gemara in Makos that the Bahag is wrong, that Anochi should be counted as a mitzvah. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Mipi Agvir Shmanum, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Correct the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos, the top left of page 2, he says, 1 second, how many mitzvos are there in Anochi and Lo'iyah? I think there are 5, right? So, if you're going to say the Pshat Nigman Makos, literally, you touch it up, Kipshuto, so then it shouldn't be 2 from Moshe and 611, sorry, 2 from Hashem and 611 from Moshe. It should be maybe 608, right? Very schwer. Very schwer. Right? The Rambam counts a number of mitzvahs. Look, at Sefer Mitzvah, at the Ramban, top left. V'dibur lo yeh lecha, minyas rabos, lo yeh lecha, lo tasa, lo sishtachav elohem, lo sa'avdeim. The Rambam counts those all as separate mitzvahs. So, asks the Ramban, if you, the Rambam, think that you have a raya from that Gemara, it's not a raya for you. It undermines your whole mahalich because you counted five mitzvos. Says the Meshech Chachma, you can't understand the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos unless you know what the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, he does that all the time, by the way, the Meshech Chachma. He shows how ideas in the other writings of the Rambam only make sense if you understand what he says in Mor Nevuchim. Him and the Ragachavers, the two Gedolim and Vinsk, they both had the same mahalich, that you can't understand Mishnah Torah without Mor Nevuchim. Anyway, the point is that that if you look at the Rambam and Nevuchim, the answer is Pashut. Because the Rambam says, what does it mean? What does the Gemara in Makos mean? What's that talking about? It's not talking about Losa of Dame. It's not talking about Los Ishtachav Elohim. It's talking about the notion of God's existence and his oneness. That's what the Gemara means. Those are two things. Those two things are Mepiag Vurashmanu. It's not Akasha. The Ramban's Kasha isn't Akasha. Now, there's another issue here, which I'm going to raise now. I'm going to answer Brikitzer. If we have time, I'd like to get back to it, but there's a bunch of other things I also want to tell you today, but which is that this seems to be so what the Rambam writes famously in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, where he writes that the basis of our belief in the Torah is not the Nisim, the Niflos, because anybody who believes based on Nisim, Yesh Beli Bodofi, rather it was because of what we heard at Har Sinai. We heard the direct voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When someone hears that, that leaves no tinge of doubt. That's not something that can be faked. When you hear God's voice, so there's no doubt. It's not like a miracle where you could always wonder, maybe it's magic or something like that. So, seems like it's a stira. The answer, very bekitzer, is actually, it's perfectly consistent. The Rambam over there in Hilchos Yisodei Torah doesn't say that the Jewish people heard Anochi Anoyia. What does it say they heard? What? So it's a little more than a kol. It's a nuanced point. It says that they heard Moshe, Moshe, Lechem, Elim, Kach, Lekach. Where's the pasuk that says that? It should say they heard Hashem say, Anochi Anoyia. If you understand the Gemara Kipshuto. The answer is that they didn't hear those words. They didn't hear Anochi Anoyia, and that's perfectly consistent. The experience that they had was a experience of hearing the call. Now, where does he get the idea of Moshe, Moshe, Lechem, Olam, Kach, Lekach? We'll get back to if we have time. B'li Neder. Okay. I'm going to take a couple questions quickly, but I'd like to further be ma'ayin in what this mitzvah is, because we're just beginning. Yeah.
When we equated the knowledge of other people to the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu about knowing God's existence as Yichud, was that only referring to people who are at the Ma'amad Har Sinai, or even at the knowledge of these things are also
anybody who's able to prove it? Yes. Anybody who's able to prove it. That's the point. That's exactly what I'm getting at. In other words, the point that I'm trying to bring out from this Rambam is that the importance, the value of proof, because when you can independently prove God's existence, so then your belief, your idea is a totally different level than if you just know it through being told. It's fundamentally, it's qualitatively different.
So when the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei Torah says that we don't believe based on miracles, but we believe based on hearing it.
The Rambam anyway over there is not talking about belief in God. He's talking about belief in Torah. Belief in God he talks about in the earlier Prakim of Hilchos Yisodei Torah. The Rambam there is discussing how do we know about the truth of Taras Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a different point. That's something that can't be proven. That was because of the experience, right? That's something very different. Yeah.
Just with regard to this point, the Gemara Makos and the Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban seems to be, or Rambam Chai, yes. So it isn't about whether God exists or whether God is one, or even how we know whether God exists or whether God is one, but rather there's a mitzvah to know whether God is one. So none of these points, I think, seem to be about whether or not it's a mitzvah, right? Can B'nai Yisrael intuit?
No, that's not the point. What I'm trying to show is you see an incredible thing from how the Rambam understood that Gemara in Makos, and why he thought it was a proof, which again, for the purposes of my bringing it in, is to highlight this yesod about the nature of belief that's rooted in knowledge, independent knowledge, versus simply being told. My current interest isn't the technical machlokas as to whether it's a mitzvah or not. I'd like to return to that in a second. That's an important question also. And maybe I'd actually like to return to that today, especially when we see the critiques of Rabbeinu Kreskes, who actually does tell you why he thinks it shouldn't be a mitzvah, as opposed to the Bahag. But that's not... The Nakuda I wanted to highlight is how the Rambam understands the Gemara in Makos. Yes, he uses it as a proof, but it's teaching us a very fundamental idea about the nature of emunah. Yeah.
Is the Rambam highlighting a particular character, or just that it has to be done by itself?
I don't think he's saying it has to be done by itself. I think the Rambam's saying it's totally different if you can do it yourself.
Is he highlighting...
The way the Rambam, you know, did it is through science and philosophy. But no, I think technically speaking, anything that would work would accomplish the same thing. Yes? That's true. No, it's not logic.
It's not logic?
No. I know that there's a bigger discussion, which the Rambam discusses at length. Something that I know that I can independently discover using my seichel isn't the same thing as something that can be logically demonstrated. You can't logically prove to me that you should be nice. There's no question that's not something that a human being is capable of independently discovering and responsible to do, according to the Rambam, regardless of whether he's been told by God or by a prophet to do so. You understand the difference? Prove to me that you should be nice. Exactly. Now, the point is, now, that doesn't mean that being nice is something that you can't independently discover. You can, and you must. The Pasuk in Yechezkel says that the people of Sodom were destroyed because they didn't give charity. Charity is not one of the Sheva Mitzvot Pnei Noach, so nobody told them to give charity. So why are they held accountable? Says Rabbeinu Bach in the Pasuk, and this is clear, it's obvious, that the answer is that they could have and should have figured out that the right thing to do is to be nice and help those who are in need. And therefore, their philosophical objection to kindness was so egregious that it warranted destruction. It's not something you could prove, but it is something you could independently discover. There's a difference between something that's independently discoverable versus something that can be proven. The Rambam thinks that many, many, many of the mitzvos, perhaps even all the mitzvos, but certainly many, many of them are independently discoverable. That doesn't mean that they could be proven. There's a very big difference epistemologically between something that can be proven versus something that's independently discoverable. Yes?
So, according to the Rambam, let's say that you get this personal, what it wants to achieve, the living God, the perfect God. At that point, do you just check off that mitzvah? You fulfilled it. There's nothing left to do, or is there still an active mitzvah?
Good question. We'll talk about it. Yes, I think there is, but we'll get there. Be'ezus Hashem. Yes.
I don't understand the epistemological difference between suffering something.
We'll get back to it, maybe. If not, we'll talk about it personally. I think the Rambam makes the chiluk. But for example, the role of intuition and the like. I'd like to talk, it's a good question. I'm not trying to be dismissive. I think there is an epistemological difference. but it's not. It's not. It's not. Not for now, because now I want to do the Mitzvah Emunah. Yes.
Is that independence thing that you said? What's the phrase that you used? Not the thing that you can prove, but the discoverable.
Independently discoverable.
Is that the same qualitative knowledge as what you get from proving something?
You're all asking the same question. Probably not.
Is it knowledge at all?
Yes. It's knowledge, and the Rambam writes, you have to do it. The Rambam writes in Moreh Nebuchim explicitly that a person is responsible to do everything that they understand is right to do. That means, let's not use the word knowledge. You have to do whatever you want to call it, you have to do it. And that's true, for example, if I can arrive at that awareness intuitively. Intuitively, I know that it's nice to help that guy out. So I have to help that guy out. That's true regardless of whether I can prove it.
Again, it's not knowledge.
So don't call it knowledge.
That makes it part of
Moshe,
or yeah,
yes, that it's a mitzvah through Moshe. We would know that you have to do it without Moshe, right. But one might add, agav, a point that Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon says, which is or implies at the very least that even though the basic notions of mishpatim are independently discoverable. But there's a chiddush in the way the Torah says it. Just for example, let's say lo sirtzach, right? So we'll all agree that the prohibition against ritzicha is something that we could all figure out is wrong. It's wrong to kill, regardless of whether or not Hashem or a prophet told us we can't kill, right? Makes sense? But the answer, I think, is it's not so simple. The Torah's definition of ritzicha, which is categorical, is debatable from a independent moral perspective. For example, mercy killing. I could make an argument that there's nothing wrong with killing someone who's in terrible pain, who has a terminal disease, who asks me to kill him, to put him out of his pain. From a moral and ethical perspective, you could make an argument yes, you could make an argument no. I'm not sure it's conclusive. The Torah says it's ritzicha. The prohibition is categorical. The Torah says don't steal. The Torah's prohibition against stealing goes well beyond that which we would intuitively understand. For example, the Yisr Gnei Vastas, which according to many, the Bali Atosis is Bechlal, the Yisr of Gneva, right? Is that really obvious? Gnei Vastas, right? So there's a lot more to say about this, but this is really not the topic I wanted to discuss today. But maybe it's a very good topic. We should have a shiur on this topic. Which is the role of svara in terms of the determination of halacha and the obligation to keep that, and both before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. But now I want to go on. Unless this question is an amuna, good. Nah, it's a suffix. Suffix kula. You can ask me afterwards. I'm happy to take all questions after the shiur. Okay, now. There's another very important part of the mitzvah of emunah, which goes beyond just, and when I say emunah, let's be more specific because I don't want to take a stand on that. The mitzvah of anochi. The mitzvah of anochi for the Rambam, which goes beyond just knowing or believing in God's existence. And this is something that the Rambam stresses again and again. And that is that it's not enough to believe in God, but the mitzvah of Anochi demands a correct conception of God. To appreciate this, take a look. Oh, here. I found one. Thank you. To appreciate this, look at the second source, on what I gave you today. It's a passage from the Maor Nebuchim. I did this one in English. So the Rambam writes basically that for belief is possible only after the apprehension of a thing. What does that mean? If you believe in God, but you have an incorrect conception of God, so then you don't really believe in God. Because the thing that you believe in isn't God, right? When reading my present treatise, bear in mind that by belief, again here we have the same issue of how you translate it, so this is, it's the same word, itakad, whatever you want to call it, belief, yediya, emuna. By belief, we do not understand merely that which is uttered with the lips, but also that which is apprehended by the soul. The conviction of that subject, the conviction that the object of belief is exactly as apprehended. Right? In other words, there's a correspondence between what I believe and what actually is. So the Rambam writes that some people say that it's enough to just say Shema, to say what's true, as if the object of the law was to seek forms of expression, not subjects of belief. And the Rambam writes, this is wrong, because why? For belief is possible only after the apprehension of a thing. It consists in the conviction that the thing apprehended has its existence beyond the mind in reality, exactly as it is conceived in the mind, right? God exists. Now, truth is that even that phrase isn't exactly precise for the Rambam, but we'll leave that for now. So God exists in reality. I believe he exists. So I've been mekayem the mitzvah anochi if the thing that I believe in is true, corresponds to the thing that exists in reality. And if it doesn't, so then it's a joke. The Rambam writes, those who believe, so let's give an example. The Rambam writes that a corollary of God's oneness is that he has no attributes. Now, this is not a simple thing. The Rambam discusses this in the first prakim of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. There's 10 chapters in Maor Nebuchim on this topic, from Chelek Aleph, Perek Nun, to Perek Samech. It is a tough topic. It's not actually so easy to exactly understand. But the notion of God having qualities, it's actually a good thing to think about this time of year, as we say again and again, the Yud Gimel Lidos HaRachamim, is that if, for example, those attributes are things that change, so that would imply he's imperfect. If they were unchanging, but they're outside of him, they're accidental, so that would introduce multiplicity. There's him and his attributes. And even if they're defining characteristics, the Rambam writes, that introduces plurality. So, believing that Hashem has positive attributes is a contradiction to his oneness. Now, the Rambam, of course, addresses what then the Torah means when it talks about his attributes. There are several possibilities. They're sometimes referring to negative attributes. They're just stated positively, but really they're negative. They sometimes relate to the way in which he relates to the world, which can be described. I could say that the way in which I perceive God corresponds to that which is normally used, the word kindness normally applies. It's a big topic, not for now. The point, though, is, again, maybe we could talk about this another shiur, that it's true. So the Rambam writes, those who believe that God is one and simultaneously that he has many attributes declare the unity with their lips and assume plurality in their thoughts. Meaning to say, there's a stira, right? It's impossible to both be one in the sense of truly one. Echad can mean many things. When the way I use the word echad, there's one table in front of me, but the table's comprised of parts. It has legs, and it has a top, and the top is comprised of different sections, and the sections are comprised of cells, and the cells are comprised of of molecules, and the molecules are comprised of different smaller parts, right? So when we use the word one with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't just mean one and not two, but we mean one in the sense of being simple, not comprised of parts. So if you say he is one, but then you believe that he has attributes, so that's a stira, right? There's a stira between what you're saying Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and what you believe. The Rambam writes that doing that is like the doctrine of the Christian, who says he's one and he is three, and three and one, right? It doesn't make any sense. So to say he's one and to believe his attributes is nonsensical. So what then do you have to do to fulfill the mitzvah of Anochi? Belief is only possible after the apprehension of a thing. It consists in the conviction that the thing apprehended has its existence in reality exactly as it is conceived in the mind. If in addition to this, we are convinced that the thing cannot be different in any way from that from what we believe it to be, and that no reasonable argument can be found for rejection of belief or the admission of any deviation from it, then there is certainty. That's the mitzvah of emunah, right? The mitzvah of emunah means that to believe God exists, that there's a correspondence between that which you believe and that which is true, and that no argument could be made against that. So you need certainty, and you need correctness. Now, this is one of the reasons why the Rambam crusaded, and that's an understatement, against the notion of corporeality, which was common in his time, that God has a body, because you could have said, like, what's the big deal? The Rambam says it's wrong, and you have to teach kids that it's wrong, because you're not being mekayem the mitzvah of emunah if you believe of anochi, if you believe that God has a body in some way, because then there's no correspondence between that which you believe and that which is, because he doesn't have a body. Now, an interesting question, which I would also like to get back to, and I'm going to get back to all these things. But anyway, is there a difference between corporeality and positive attributes? I think there is actually a difference in the Rambam. One doesn't necessarily make a person a kofer, but we'll have to get back to that. Be that as it may, so the Rambam here has told us that what the mitzvah of emunah includes, or anochi includes, and the mitzvah of anochi includes a correct understanding of God. Now again, that doesn't mean you understand everything about God. And the Rambam says nobody can understand everything about God. But there are certain basic things that we're able to comprehend which are true, like his existence, his oneness, his incorporeality, his unity, all those things. And those are part and parcel of the mitzvah of emunah. Now, I'd like to just, again, I'm going to hopefully finish in 5 minutes. If you have to go, I understand. But add a couple more points. As you know, not everybody agreed that there is a mitzvah of Anochi, that Anochi is a mitzvah. The Bahag doesn't. The perhaps most extensive proponent against the Rambam is Rav Chasdei Karaiskis in the Or Hashem. And you have that over here at the bottom of the first page, going on to the second page. This is a short page. Rav Chasdei Karaiskis. Rav Chasdei Karaiskis lived from 1340 to 1410. He was a philosopher, a Talmud of the Ran, and a very controversial figure, actually, especially concerning his position on free will. But anyway, the Or Hashem argues against the notion that Anochi could be a mitzvah. And if you read over here this paragraph, you'll see that he poses three primary objections. Number one is commanding faith seems illogical, because if you already believe, then the commandment is superfluous. You already believe. And if you don't believe, then you're not going to pay any attention to the mitzvah. Saying, you must believe, is silly, right? If you believe, so I don't need to tell you. And if you don't believe, so my telling you isn't going to change anything. So it doesn't make any sense as a mitzvah. Number two is that beliefs can't be fairly commanded because they are not voluntary. Number three is he rejects the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara Makos. You know what? I'm not going to try to rush this because I'd like to discuss how the Rambam would address all three of those points, but we are out of time. So I want to wish you all a Gemar Chesima Tova, good Gemen Shtiar, and also a good Yantif, and a good Shabbos first. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will pick up after Yantif. So I see there are lots of questions. So if anyone, why don't you come up with the questions?
How do you think is the appropriate way to doing at least
right?